This reading this morning is from John 18, verses 33 to 38. Pilate then went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did the others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. And with this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for charges against him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, hand over to Martin to come and share what God has laid on his heart. Thank you, Martin. Yes, please, if that's...
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome. I'm actually excited, a little bit nervous, new being here. Do you know what? And that's what I loved about the moment I walked in. I thought, I'm amongst family. Straight away, I was like, I feel good. And it's lovely. So thank you so much. I'm really honoured to be here. I don't take it lightly whenever I'm asked to go anywhere to share God's word. Something after 20-odd years of ministry, I still quite haven't got over that what God's doing and his goodness and that he uses us. People he don't need. He never needed me. But he chose me, and that's a story for another day maybe. And so I want to have a bit of fun with today, so I hope you're ready to be a little bit interactive, not ready to just listen to me, right? So I want to ask a question, and it's not a quiz, just a straight question. Why did Jesus come to the earth? You young guys at the back, you're going to get quizzed too, be ready. Tell us the truth and save us. Absolutely.
Open up the way to heaven, the only way.
Open up the way to heaven.
God wanted it.
Because God wanted it. Jesus never came on his own volition. It was God sent him, right? Anyone else?
Die for us.
Yeah. No. Right, before you stone me, every one of you are correct. But Jesus, and we just read with his own lips, specifically said why he came. And we'll go with something with this. I'm not going off. But what we do as people, we look at the stuff that's going on and we forget the big stuff behind it. So absolutely right. Jesus came to die for us. It was God's plan to redeem mankind, to give himself as a sacrifice, to give us new life. I could just keep going and going and going. But Jesus never said that, per se, in those words. And so what he says is, "For this reason I was born, and for this very reason I've come into the earth, to testify to the truth." So for me, when I read that, I thought everything you've said is correct, and everything we believe is correct. But is it correct just because it is, or is it correct because it's the truth? So when I started to read God's word, one of the things I saw was this word truth kept popping up everywhere. So rather than just details, biblically, God chalks everything up to either something that's either true or it's not true. And I'm actually half Italian and half Scottish, ancestry-wise. And in Italian, the little Italian I learned was, Everything's either not or is. It's a really easy way to say stuff. They put no at the beginning, so either not drink, yes drink, no eat, yes eat. And it's like in the Bible, it's either true or it's not. And so where am I going with this? So I want to just pick up a couple of bits in this story, because I think there's so much going on here that's really amazing. Pilate's asking Jesus about what's happening. He's asking Pilate, are you asking me, or has someone else asked you to ask me? Now, take a note of this for yourself. Your walk with Jesus, are you doing that on the basis that someone's telling you, or are you doing it on the basis that you know? Because even me being here today, anything I tell you is good, it's just information, but if it's not true for you, then it's just words coming from me. The idea is that everything we read, as Romans 15:4 says, is written for our encouragement and our comfort. Everything that was taught to us was given to us to encourage us and to give us hope. So here, Pilate's having this struggle. And the struggle he's having isn't with so much Jesus per se. He's asking, what's this truth that you're talking about? What is that? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you, because if I asked you what truth is, we'd have about 50 million different answers. And today, what was on trial here was actually the truth. And we're in a situation today where truth is on trial again. Am I wrong? Now, again, I'm not looking to be controversial here. I don't want to do that. But there's truth. And I've heard people say it's my truth. My truth, your truth, his truth. So I'm not denying experience. We all have our own experiences. But there's ultimately only one truth. And that truth isn't determined on what I say it is. It may be true for me, but that doesn't make it the truth. So everything we have in our word here is coming down to a central point, and that is the truth. And Jesus says, I was born. Just another little truth here, just a little throwaway. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Right. If you don't believe me, go back and check how many times Pilate affirms Jesus. And Ray will know this, obviously, being a bit of a Bible scholar, probably. Right. God redeems everything, doesn't he? He buys everything back. So Jesus gets denied 3 times, and he gets affirmed 3 times by Pilate. And I counted. Pilate goes out 3 times and says, I can't find anything wrong with him. Like, what's the deal here? What are you trying to do? Obviously, God had a plan, and he was getting this stuff going. So Pilate asks him one of the most profound questions in history. What is truth? And the irony was, the truth was standing right in front of him. Remember the woman at the well? And if you go back and read the story, I always find it quite funny, because in the story of the woman at the well, she's almost giving Jesus a history lesson about stuff that he already knows. Do you know whose well this is? Do you know who lives over here? We worship over here, but you worship over there. And Jesus is being really polite, kind of going, yeah, you know, like he doesn't know. And he's not rude, he doesn't shut her down. But at the very end, she says, and this is my favourite part, she looks him in the eye and says, we know Messiah is coming. And he looks at her and he says, that's me. The whole time he was standing in front of her, she couldn't see it. And sometimes with God's word, it's the same. There's so much God's wanting to say to us and do, and we don't get it because we can't see it. Because it hasn't been chalked up to its fundamental basis of truth. Sally, you were saying earlier, that lovely psalm, I look to the Lord, where does my help come from? We turn it into a Shakespeare play, don't we? I look to the Lord, whence help, my help comes from? No, he asks a question, where does my help come from? From the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I'm going off track a little bit, but excuse me, I'll keep the time. Right. We say, how many times have you heard the saying, the devil never sleeps? Devil never sleeps. Anyone heard that? Anyone ever said it? I used to do that until I searched the entire Bible and couldn't find one verse that backed it up. And so that word you had was the one where it says, no, there is somebody that never sleeps and slumbers, and that's God. He's the one that's never asleep. So what we do sometimes as people, we always go for the opposite. We go, oh, this is the one that's always going to go wrong, or this ain't going to happen. But there's a truth that God's doing something. Jesus has come to testify to the truth that, yes, he is going to save mankind. He's going to be a sacrifice. He's going to give a whole new life. People are going to be healed. People are going to regain their sight. The deaf are going to hear. Those who are lost are going to be found. Fact. Truth. And we know this when John member asked, are you the real guy? And he told him what he would have known. The blind see, the deaf hear. And John's going, this is the one. That's all I need to know. Because this was prophesied, and we know in Isaiah. Anyway, I'm going off. Let me go back. So John 14:16. Here, Jesus says, "I am the way, the life." It's this word again, associated with Jesus. These three things that come like a trinity almost. Of there's a way with me, and there's a truth about me, and then through that there's a life that comes from me. And again, here we can read that, quote it, but it doesn't become a truth to me, and it doesn't become something that gets lived out in my life. It's a truth about him, but it doesn't affect me. And what my main point of what I want to share with you today is that you get encouraged that this is personable for you. It's not words. The Bible wasn't written for you to read, for head knowledge. It was life to give you to live and to change. That Jesus is the way, and in that way is truth. So I'm not worrying about, have I gone down a bad road here? He's the way, but is that way right? And he says it's the truth. And then part of that, he then says it's the life. Now, before I became a Christian, I was alive. And I was alive because I sinned very well. So I was pretty much alive doing that. But I didn't realize the life that Jesus was going to give me was a whole different life. Still living, still breathing, still seeing, still hearing, but very differently. Heart's completely different. Mind's completely different. What I'm hearing, what I'm seeing is very different. The way I act is very different. The things that captivate my heart are very different. The things that I struggled with are gone. The things I want now are different. So we see this word truth again. Jesus has come to testify the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He says it's expedient that I go, because when I go, now to the disciples at the time, think about this, family. Jesus was physically there. For him to tell you it's going to be amazing that I'm going to go, because when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Wouldn't, to us it sounds exciting, to them would have been a little bit daunting, because you're kind of like, well, who's this Holy Spirit? Like, I don't know, where are you going? Might even grab him a little bit and go, what are you doing, where are you going? He's like, don't worry, it's going to be great that I leave, because when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And we know that through God, the Holy Spirit, obviously part of the Trinity, is going to live in us. Jesus isn't departing, it's going to become more personable, where it's not just a physical thing, it's going to become a personal thing. And we see the Spirit in John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Not passing through, not going to turn up occasionally, he's going to come and he's going to live with you. Verse 17 says this, the Spirit of, have a guess? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's massive. God, who is the author of truth, gives us a Son who's testifying to the truth. He is the truth. He's sending a Spirit that's also true. Now, I love this. He's the Spirit of truth who will guide you into all truth. That means it's a safe bet. By me allowing the Holy Spirit to have more of me, because we do this, right? I say, I want more of the Holy Spirit, but in actual fact, he wants more of me. That's really the way it works. Martin, you yield. Let me have more of you, not you having more of me, because it's not a bargain bucket. It's not like, you know, get a leg and a wing. Because sometimes we do separate him a bit, don't we? I've got a bit, you've got a bit. So, no, he's a whole person. You have him or you don't have him. So when you have him in the fullness. Not only is he the Spirit of truth, he guides us into all truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your word, Lord. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth. Again, just words on paper, but profoundly exciting for me and for you. Unless we don't understand it properly. And then it's not being activated properly in our lives when we pause and think. He's sanctifying himself so that I can be sanctified by the truth. He's the one interceding and praying for me daily. Anyone excited the fact that the Lord is praying for you. What a winner you're on to. That I every day I pause sometimes and think, Jesus is interceding for me. I'm on a winner. His prayers are always going to get answered. So even when I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, and I have to then pause and say, this truth we're reading about, what is it? And I stop and I pause and think, again, you won't know the story. When I came to faith radically, I was on the verge of suicide and wasn't looking for God. Don't come from a family that I'm a first generation Christian. Didn't care about God, didn't want to know about church, wasn't interested. Until God one evening in a cold November night decided enough was enough. And there was a church that I could see on the corner of a road that I'd never noticed before. And now I'm like, maybe I should go in because I've got nothing else to lose. And I've heard people telling me about Jesus. And I walk in. And I walk in unsaved and I walk out saved. First time I ever cried. First time I ever broke down. First time anyone ever asked me anything about me. And then I'm put back, restored back with my girlfriend, who's now my wife. She comes to Christ. Now we're in a church. Now we're in a family. Now we're changing. Now our lives are different. Now what's changed? We're still alive, but now we're living a life that's true. There's a truth. And you might be thinking, Martin, you're telling us how to suck eggs. We know this already. But I want to encourage you today, I really do, that there's something for us today as a church to pause and not read these words about it's true. Well, I know it's true because the Bible says it's true. How is that true for me, for real? How does that work? How does that work? Am I really living that life? Am I really excited about what he wants to do? Am I really allowing him to be the spirit of truth because he wants to guide me into all truth? And I want to be guided into all truth. Because if I do what I do, I could wander down a bad road, make a bad decision. How long have I got you? I've got 10 minutes. Okay, full armour, this is another one. Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Again, this is a funny thing. Everyone heard the term, and please, I'm really sorry if I upset someone saying this, you know, put on your armour daily, you know. I used to get told, blessed people tell me in church, you know, every morning, Martin, put on your armour. And I go, yeah, and it's kind of really cool sayings until I started learning as I matured and read it. I thought, hang on a sec, this is not putting an on and off thing. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Shall I take righteousness off and put it back on in the morning? Shall I take salvation off, put it back in the morning? It's a bit of a scary prospect. Why would I take it off and like something happens to me? Do you get where I'm going? A one-time deal of armour for us. Now, watch this with the whole truth metaphor, right? So, therefore, having girded yours, it starts with the belt of truth and it finishes with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them with your word is truth. Our armour starts with the truth, ends with truth. Starts with truth, ends with truth. So this institution which we call church, which we're sat in today, just happened to show up. Someone decided to start Underhill Baptist, called Underhill, right? I've got it right. No, just someone decided, I think it'd be a good idea just to plop a church there in the corner.
Church plant.
Yeah, absolutely. Underhill Baptist Church was something that God had ordained, foreknew, foresaw, decided this is where we want to stick it, not just for fun, for a very specific purpose. For very, very specific people that would never end, would never dwindle. Now, I'm saying this because I do a lot of travelling ministry and I hear a lot of, unfortunately, the church is dying, the church is becoming obsolete, Christianity is not working. And every time I hear it, it just bounces off. I'm like, I don't know what world you're living in, but I don't see that. For the first 3 centuries, when I suppose, yes, 100%, persecution was probably worse then than it will ever be anything close to today. And Christianity not only didn't disappear, it got stronger. The churches were not eradicated, they got bigger. So I don't ever want to hear the fact that people tell me the church is dwindling or it's becoming obsolete or it's no longer needed. This church here, and I'm not saying this just for you, I've been saying this to nearly every church I've visited, because God's really been put on my heart. He loves the local church. Not everyone's called for mission, not everyone's called as an evangelist. What some people are called, and it breaks my heart because we don't talk about this enough, are faithful members that show up every Sunday to hear God's word, to praise him through songs, to have fellowship together, regardless of style or how dynamic it is such a treasure to God. And if you read Ephesians 3:10, it's one of my favourite verses, it talks about that it was the intent of God that his church would show his wisdom to the principalities and powers. So the fact that you're here today, literally, right now, is God's fulfillment happening. You're not doing anything, you're doing something powerful, playing the keyboards. If those songs don't go up, we can't sing anything, we can't worship anyone. If people don't show up, there's no one to talk to. So I've never been about numbers, size, or drama. I always think the local church is one of the greatest institutions and a God-ordained institution. So I think that here, if you weren't here, the night when I walked into that building, if they weren't there, I wouldn't be here right now. And that's just for me to you to hear and to encourage you. Don't ever get tempted to think, well, it's not really working out, it's a bit quiet, no one's really showing up, or could we be doing more? No, you're already doing amazing. Because there are people out there right now that have no idea about any of this. And it's needed. And I believe there's going to come a time where people will start to. God's always moving and people will, something will happen. And the first place they're going to look to go, you know where? Church. They're not going to look for a camp. They're not going to look for a hotel. They're going to look for a church. I just want to share one more thing. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. The great mystery. Now this is the church regarding the qualifications of elders, overseers and deacons. But again, really important, a great mystery. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Sounds like I'm telling off, right? It's not, it's an encouragement. Because listen to this. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth? And without controversy, great is the mystery. Listen to this. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the word, and received up in glory. It's kind of something we should really clap at, right, when we hear that, because we're going to go, yeah. Read it again. Manifested in the flesh, justified by the spirit, seen by the angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. This Jesus that showed up and said, I'm here to testify to the truth. And before I pray, I'm probably doing a really bad job of explaining this, but how do I frame this for you? This stuff I've just told you, it can fall on deaf ears, or you can pause and go back and let me have another look at this. Because is it the God who never sleeps, never slumbers? Or is it the devil that never really sleeps here? Am I being hoodwinked to think that God is somehow mystic and the enemy's got a foothold? Or is Jesus really true? And those who know the truth are set free by that very truth. Not just the word of truth, but Jesus himself is the word. Hold up, this is something you're probably going to teach. You can teach that stuff. Jesus the Logos is a whole different crazy thing. Jesus being the word himself, and Jesus, and the truth, everything's coming through him. But with it comes stuff, comes a new life. I spend a lot of time around people in recovery, just quickly, especially in the States and here too. And I am privileged to hear stories that you won't see on the news of guys, I'm talking from extreme violence, drugs, kidnappings, arms, coming to Christ, falling to their knees, life changed, on the streets, telling everyone about Jesus, telling everyone about this new life. And we don't hear enough of this. I get to hear it quite a lot, and I'm quite honoured and blessed by that, and I'm one of them. So what does that look like for you? Now, that's the question I want to leave you with. This truth that Jesus came, is it the truth because he wants me just to read it and go, yeah, that's true? Or is it a truth that he wants to change me with? There's something that changes me and how I live. And not only just affects me personally, but it affects things around me, of how I perceive stuff and how I see things and how I move, how I see God in situations. Lord, are you in this? Is this something you want to say here? Is this something you're doing? I'm a bit of an evangelist by nature, so I'm kind of always kind of, you know, I could be in a coffee shop and I could get a conversation going and I'd immediately start going, okay, Lord, is this something you're doing here? And he might be like, what? I was minding my own business. What, you're having a coffee? Oh, okay, because I'm always on the move. Lord, are you doing something? Is there something you want to say and do? Because there's a truth. And there's this truth that sets people free. And that sounds like an echo, I know, I'm sorry, but I'm just so touched by it in my own life. I get so excited by it because it never changes and it never dwindles and it never gets old. But the Bible's the only book I've ever read, and I'll challenge you. Read any Christian literature, like a magazine, you know, Open Doors magazine. Read it again, and then when you get sick of reading it, because it's just saying the same thing. Why is it when we read God's word that we read it and it says something again? Then we read it and it says something again. We read it and it says something again. Why are we having sermons for hundreds of years and not running out of material? Because the truth is, God's word is constantly speaking to us. It's constantly revealing things to us. It's constantly helping us. It's constantly taking us back, showing us how to live, how to respond, how to think, how to perceive, how to hear. So my prayer for you is this. When you leave today, I really pray that this will be, I don't know, like a kind of jump start for you personally. You know, we have this transcendent God that's transcendent and yet very imminent. It's kind of a weird thing to kind of get our heads around. He's so far out there, yet he's so personable. And I don't know about you, that always blows me away. I'm like, wow, you know, you should always just be out there. You should never be down here. He's like, no, I want to be with you. You know, the tabernacle in the wilderness, why? They're in tents, he's in a tent. They need to move. All right, let's have a tabernacle. Why? Because I need a mobile tent. Because you're moving, I want to move. And do you see that? God's always wanting to be around his people. So us having the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth that guides us into all truth, is something we live with now, today. It's not different. Today is not just another day. He's still wanting to live for your life. He's still wanting to guide you into all truth. There are decisions you may need to make this week, this month, this year, that he can help you with and stop you from taking a bad turn, making a bad deal, a wrong decision. I'm going to leave it with you. He is true. Holy Spirit is true. His word is true. It's washing us. It's sanctifying us. Not true because we say it's true, because it's true. And with it, a life change is happening. And I really believe that God's on the move and he's encouraging his church. Don't get discouraged. Don't get downhearted. I'm still talking, still moving. People are still coming. And we're going to need places for them to come. Because the church is like a hospital, right? For the sick and needy. We don't say that enough. But it really is. And I'm one of them, right? So let's pray. Should we stand and we'll pray? Good and gracious Father, I thank you for revealing the truth to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live in the light of that truth, Lord, empowered by your Holy Spirit as your church. May we stand as pillars of your truth, proclaiming it boldly and living it out, Lord, in love and grace. Guide us as we follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to experience the free Lord, the triune God, the triune way, the truth, and the life that comes with it. Strengthen us to be faithful witnesses of your kingdom in this world. And I pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you and thank you for coming.
We're going to have our children. If Veronica could get the children. Yes. We've got our family song now. So we have our ribbons, which I don't know how many children. I can hear some children out.
It's just the exciting part.
But hopefully the words of the song also, we are asking God to build his church and make us strong, make us one. Because as Martin said, obviously, God is working through his church. Just wait. If any adults want a ribbon, they're welcome to come and get one. We'll get the kids in. Come in a minute. Hello? Right, you all right? You want one? Oh, there we are, Charles. Well done. There we are. Okay, got yours? Here we are, which one do you want? There's a littler one there, I don't know. Pink? Yeah, there we are. Anyone else going to be an honorary child? But they can be. Right, we've got this. Let's stand and sing this. And wow, that's right, you know what you're doing, don't you? Right, for I'm building a people of power and I'm making a people of praise. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.